I am out of town in Colorado for the next three Wednesdays. So we'll be doing this via Zoom. Overview, the Bible overview, and feel free to jump in anytime, and it won't hurt my feelings if you interrupt. And when I ask for volunteers to read, just pipe up and go for it. And thank you for that. So this evening, we are going to start the next phase of our study, and those are the history books. They start with Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. The remaining of the Old Testament, we're going to see books poetry and Psalms. We're going to read about Proverbs, and then thereafter, major and minor prophets who prophesied during the history of the Israel nation. So there is some things that we will learn from them that will be added to the history of Israel. So tonight we are going to start off with Joshua. Excuse me on that. And it's the Old Testament, and it's historical Israel. We see that this book was written approximately 1405 to 1385 BC. Contains 24 chapters that man had decided to break the scroll up. And the key thought in the book of Joshua is the promised land entered. We saw in the book of Exodus, book of Deuteronomy, that, and Numbers, that the children of Israel were in the wilderness. God had given them his laws, his commandments, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, not the first generation, but the second generation, God's going to fulfill that promise by allowing the children of Israel to enter, to conquer and divide the promised land. That's the land of Canaan. One of the key lessons for us today in Joshua is obedience is the path of success. When you look at the book of Joshua, you see how God had treated his people. He was faithful to his promises. And when they were when they obeyed him and put their trust in Jehovah, they were successful. When they deviated from God's plan, they weren't successful. And that's a lesson for us today. As we read the book of Joshua, we know it's Israel's history. But we could glean from that what God expects from you and I. Now, the God, Jehovah God, of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. And we as his people should be following his laws. Again, we look at Jesus in the book of Joshua. We see that he is the commander of our army, and that's the Lord. Joshua commanded, Joshua led, but above all, he put God first. And that's what Jesus does. He gives God the glory, and he gives God the honor. And that's something that we should always focus on in our lives. So to begin with, Joshua leads the children of Israel to cross into the promised land. Joshua was from the first generation. He left Egypt. Who else was with him that was allowed to enter into the promised land?
Caleb.
Caleb. Excellent. So we see in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 12, Joshua is leading the children of Israel into the promised land. We see that he conquered the promised land, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, and also it's stated again in chapter 24. Essentially, the first 8 chapters in Joshua covers the first battle for Israel, and that is Jericho. How they conquered the king and the people in the city of Jericho. And we'll look at that a little in depth a little bit in our lesson. In chapters 9 to 12, the army continues fighting with Joshua as their leader. They conquer and obtain more of the promised land, with one great miracle being the sun stopping in the sky. And we find that in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. So God had a hand in them conquering the promised land. If it was up to man, he wouldn't have been as successful. But the Lord, he was fulfilling his promise to Abraham. And he's giving his children, children of Israel, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. As we continue in chapters 13 to 22 of the book of Joshua, Joshua and the Israelites divide the lands they conquered among the tribes. We're not going to read all the different tribes and who got what, but they were allotted their portion of the promised land. And in chapters 23 and 24, Joshua challenges the children of Israel to obey and serve the Lord. That's an admonition for you and I. We should put God first in our lives and serve him to the best of our ability. Joshua took over after Moses died. At one point, the Jordan River became dried and allowed all the Hebrews to cross. Joshua chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And Joshua died at 110. And we also read about the final burial of the bones of Joseph that have been carried all the time since the Exodus from Egypt was reported. Joshua 24 and verse 32. So the children of Israel recognize Joseph. And when we studied in Genesis, we said that Joseph's life foreshadowed Jesus' life. He was the Savior of the children of Israel. Jesus is our Savior. Savior of all mankind. And the children of Israel wanted to honor their forefather, Joseph. And they carried his bones into the promised land. The victory over the city of Jericho. We see this word specific. It means special or distinctive or unique and explicit. God gave the children of Israel specific instructions on how to defeat the city of Jericho. This takes us back to the days of Noah, when God had given him a plan to build an ark. He didn't deviate from that plan. He did exactly what God had told him to do. And here, God again is giving the children of Israel specific instructions on how to defeat the city of Jericho. And if we could divide this reading into two volunteers, one to read Joshua 6, verses 2 to 5, and then the second reader will pick up from 6 to 10, I would appreciate that.
The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and with its king and all the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. Also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the horns. It shall be that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead."
So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." Then he said to the people, "Go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord." And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor let the voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you. Shout, then you shall shout."
Thank you, Carolyn. So we see that in the sixth chapter, God was specific on how he wanted the children of Israel to go and capture Jericho. He told them exactly what to do. And Joshua conveyed that to the children of Israel. He told the priests to take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. And they marched around the city once, 6 days. And then on the seventh day, the priests that were carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord went forth and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant followed. And we see that the armed men were before and after the ark, and they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua told the people, "Don't shout yet. until the day I tell you to shout. And they shouted. Very specific requirements to take down the king and their and his valiant warriors. And it's God's doing, not man's doing. Man was only the instrument in God's plan. And when we see the children of Israel follow God's instructions, we won't read 14 to 20. This resulted in victory. And I have a passage from Isaiah which should shed some light on this in this incident, and also it should stick in our minds. And can I get a volunteer to read Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, please?
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is a big difference between God's ways and man's ways.
Exactly. So we know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. God's ways is higher than ours, and his thoughts are far superior than ours. So there's a big difference between God's ways and man's ways. Joshua, he put his obedience, his trust and faith in God. And when you read the prophet Isaiah in this particular passage, we should give God the honor. We should give God the glory. He knows more than us. We may think that we're highly educated. We are a people that have a lot of wisdom. But where does it come from? It comes from God. And this must have been an eye-opener for the children of Israel. Because they did exactly what God had told them to do at the battle, at the walls of Jericho. And God assisted them in their victory.
Lynn,
this is, again,
just a thought. If this had happened during the time when Jesus lived, some of the Pharisees would have said, we can't do that on the Sabbath. One of those days was the Sabbath. I don't know which one, because it doesn't say that on the seventh day. It was just the seventh day numbering from the first. Doesn't really matter. One of those days was the Sabbath. And if the Pharisees had been there, they'd have said, you can't do that, irregardless of what God had said.
Exactly. That's a very good point. In fact, while we're traversing through Israel's history, what comes to my mind that these Pharisees and Sadducees, who were supposed to be, quote, the leaders of the children of Israel, they came out of the Babylonian captivity. That's where they started. And they figured, well, look, we're smarter than everybody, and we're going to dissect the law and tell everybody what to do. But in Jesus's days, they got so engrossed in their position, they neglected to put the Lord first. And when you look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we see that God even tells us, I'm your creator. I created you and I gave you all these things. And you should follow me and I will provide for you, as he did in the children of Israel when they took Jericho down. Any other questions? Any other comments?
Well, Lenny, it reminds, I keep going back to Genesis 12. Three-part promise. I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you land of Canaan. And in you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. First one happened during Egyptian captivity. They became a great nation. Second one is happening during the time of Joshua. They're given the land of Canaan. Third part of that promise didn't come until Jesus. But God always keeps his promises. And I think we can rest assured in that.
Exactly. In fact, that's why it's so important for us to study the Old Testament, so that we could glean from it the message that God had wants us to follow. He wants us to follow him. That's the bottom line. We look at all the books of the Old Testament, and they all point to Jesus. We look at the promises God had made to Abraham, and they're being fulfilled. And even though children of Israel sin, and they sin just like you and I do, God still was true to his promise to them. That amazes me. Here's a nation that grumbled, complained, and fought every step of the way because they were ungrateful to God. Reminds us of us today. We put so many different things before God, and we shouldn't. We should realize that God deserves our love, our devotion, our glory, and our honor. So when we read the book of Joshua, we learn a number of things. First, it was written to teach us about the faithfulness of God and his ability to give his people the victory when they trust in him. What about us today? We know that God is faithful to his promises. In fact, he had given us his only son, Jesus the Christ, to die for us so that we may have the opportunity of salvation. It's not a guarantee. It's an opportunity. And by God's grace and his mercy, if we live in a righteous life to the best of our ability, obey his commandments and put him first and trust in him, we are going to have that victory, that eternal life. We also see that in the book of Joshua, it demonstrates the severity of God's judgment upon sin and disobedience. That's harsh when you look at Joshua. Well, there's people sin, but God hates sin. And if you continue in your sin and disobedience to his word, the book of Joshua, we could see what happened. And we'll discuss that in a little bit. A third point in the book of Joshua was the promise, Dean had indicated, were given to Abraham, Genesis 17 and 8, that his descendants would inherit Canaan, was finally fulfilled. Joshua is leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. So we see that God is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. What about you as a Christian today? What about your word? When you give your word as a Christian, now you're a Christian and you give your word, you should do what you can to be faithful to that promise or that that thing of helping someone. You should be faithful to your word, just as God is faithful to his word. That's important for a Christian. As you grow as a Christian, you're going to see that people are going to say that individual is a Christian because he follows up on everything he does. That's important. It's going to bring others to Christ. It's going to bring others into a relationship with the Lord. And that's what our job is, to bring others to Christ. We also see that there's a number of themes in the book of Joshua. One is God fulfills his promises. Even though man continues to sin, from Abraham's deception, Genesis 12, 10 to 20, to the golden calf incident in the wilderness, Exodus 32. Now, we looked at these passages, or we read that we are familiar with those passages in those books. And in Joshua, we see this fellow named Achan. He was a thief and disobedient to God. And God still kept his covenant and gave the land to his people in spite of their failures. God is true to his word. What about you today? Are you true to your word in everything you do? In the way you worship God, in the way you live your life 24/7, the way you share God's word with others, the way you treat your neighbors. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's difficult when you see what a number of people are doing in the world. This world is not a nice place to live. And we as Christians should be God's shining light. We should take his word and make sure we meditate on that word and make sure we put it into action and share that with others. We see also in the book of Joshua, God fights for his people. When the people trusted and obeyed God, God fought for them, fought their battles. Joshua 10 and verse 42. In a generation earlier, that was impossible. But now it's taking place, victory for Joshua's people. It was God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall, and that's in the sixth chapter, who gave the winning strategy to Joshua, Joshua 8, chapter 8 and verse 1, and God stopped the sun for him to have more time, Joshua 10 verses 1 and 2 and chapter 13. I'm citing these particular verses so that when you read the book of Joshua, you could see what God done for his people who trusted and obeyed him. And that's a lesson for us today. How do we trust God? where do we put our obedience? Do we allow the world to enter our lives and pull us away from worshiping God, putting God first? Or do we totally focus on listening to God? Not by just reading the Bible, oh, I understand what it says, or, well, I know what the book of Acts is all about, so, you know, why should I go to class? Or take the attitude of, well, I should go to that class so that I could encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. I could share with them my experiences, my knowledge, my study, and help others. That's what it's all about. You just remember in your life, before you were a Christian, somebody shared with you the gospel message. It could have been a number of people that shared that gospel message with you, had shared the stories of the Bible to bring you closer to God and eventually lead you into obeying His will by becoming a Christian, by being baptized. So we, in turn, should continue with that and share with others. And when we look at Joshua, we can see God was fighting for His people, and He will do the same for you and I. We may not like some, when we pray for something, we want something or we need something, but we know that it's God's will, not our will. In Joshua, we see sin will be judged. And it's going to be judged for you and I at the day of judgment. In Joshua 8, Achan, along with his family and all his possessions, are stoned and then burned because he took something he desired unlawfully. He knew what God said, but yet he desired something. It would seem that like a rather harsh judgment for disobeying the Lord and stealing a Babylonian cloak and some gold and silver. But God was making a point that sin will be judged. And when you read the book of Joshua, here's a man that his entire family was destroyed and all their possessions. And God was, He was not against the individual, whether it was an Israelite or Canaanite. He was against the sinful practices. That is a huge lesson for us. God will judge sin. We may think we're getting away with something, but in the day of judgment, all our deeds, the Lord's going to share with us individually, our good deeds and our bad deeds. And hopefully by God's grace and mercy, He will allow you to enter into eternal life. Serve the Lord. When you read Joshua, the book of Joshua, we see that one of the key components of the theme of the book of Joshua is to serve Yahweh, serve God. In the very first verse of the first chapter, Moses, who has died, is described as the Lord's servant. Joshua was Moses' assistant and is now commissioned as the new leader of the Israelites. He is God's new servant call to stay close to the Lord by meditating on God's word. That's an encouragement for us. We should be meditating on God's word. Not just, well, we're going to start on day one of the year and read through the Bible, but actually meditating on God's word and understanding that God is communicating his will and desire to you through the Bible. And the book concludes with Joshua calling together all the people and exhorting them to choose whether or not they will serve the Lord. And Joshua, he vows his allegiance to God and gravely warns them about the ease of falling into idolatry. Again, who do we put first in our lives? That is God. And we as children of God, as Christians, we should put our allegiance totally to God. In the book of Joshua, there are accounts of faithfulness. We can look at them. One is Rahab the harlot. We see the incident in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Can someone try to elaborate on that particular account? What did Rahab do?
She hid the spies when they came into Jericho to spy out the land.
Exactly. And she put her life and also her family in jeopardy. And she knew in her heart that was the right thing to do. So she was faithful and she assisted the children of Israel. And let me go back one here. Oh, I'm having a little trouble with my mouse here. Come on. Hold on. One second. Come on, get over there. Okay. And then we see that the Battle of Jericho, Joshua, the sixth chapter, we discussed that, how the children of Israel under Joshua's leadership were faithful to God's commandments. They followed his instructions to the letter, and they were successful. Caleb the warrior, can someone tell me about him? That account is found in 14th chapter, verses 6 through 14. He was one of the individuals, along with Joshua, who went out and tried to and spied the land and were reporting back to Moses. Does that help anyone? Well, I'll tell you, let's open up the 14th chapter of Joshua and let's read that. Can I get a volunteer to read verses 6 through 14 in chapter 14, please? That's close enough.
Well, I read it today and I can pronounce it. which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant, and the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have fully followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakim were there, and the city were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel.
Thank you. I lead you to great job with the names.
No, I'm sorry.
That's better than I can. So we see that he was faithful, and he told Moses that they could conquer the land. And now he's with the second generation. He said, look, I'm 85 years old and I'm still as strong as I was back then. He was still faithful to God. That's an encouragement for us. We should stand fast at all times, to the best of our ability, no matter what befalls on us, whether or not our health fails, whether or not we lose all our worldly possessions, we should put our trust, put our faith in the Lord. And that's astonishing message that this book of Joshua tells us about these individuals. We see also in Joshua, in the book, there are accounts of the disobedience and its consequences. Achan's sin. And that's found in the 7th and 8th chapter, where he was a thief. He stole silver in the cloak, and God punished him. The resulting loss at Ai in Joshua 7 and verse 5. They thought, well, look, we already conquered Jericho. We're going to go and destroy others. But they didn't trust in God. They weren't faithful. They didn't put their faith in God. And the failure of some tribes to alienate the enemy as God commanded. Even Joshua made a treaty with the Jebusites without first seeking the Lord. That is an interesting reading in Joshua 9 verses 1 through 27. So when you have time, just read that. God commanded the children of Israel to destroy all those who were in the land of Canaan. And did they? No. Not even Joshua consulted with the Lord, because the Gibeonites, they saw what God was doing for the children of Israel, and they said, well, we're going to accept your God. But Joshua didn't even consult with the Lord. He failed to do that. What about us today? Do we fail to seek God's wisdom? Do we fail to seek God's word so that we could learn what we should be doing? we should be encouraged with the book of Joshua, because when God says something, we should do it. And God is the ultimate promise keeper. As faithful and present as he was with Israel, so he is with us today. Can I get someone to read Joshua 1 verses 7 through 9, please?
Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses has given. And do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you. So we see that Joshua is receiving instructions. And when we read this, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And by doing God's will, we are going to be prosperous. We are going to be successful. And I see that in my life. I see how in all the years I've been a Christian, how God had been so good to me. And just reflect on your life. So be strong and courageous, as these words tell us, and put God first, always. And God keeps his word. He raised up a nation from one man and brought that nation into their own land. And he promised Abraham in Genesis was fulfilled in the book of Joshua. And God was patient and long-suffering. Along the way, there were many occasions of sin and failure. Yet God's plan and promise was ultimately fulfilled. And that's in Joshua. We can trust in him. We can trust his written word, and we can trust that he will complete the work that he has begun in us. So make sure you're good and faithful to God. Can I get a volunteer to read this verse in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that Paul is sharing with the saints at Philippi?
For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ.
Thank you, Di. So we see that as a Christian, we should hone our skills. We should be working for the Lord to the best of our ability, no matter what we do. No matter how we serve, how we assist each other, not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also our neighbors. So in this life, we will have many battles. They will not necessarily be physical battles, but some Christians are under those circumstances. But they will be times of intense conflict and struggle. Satan is doing all he can to pull us away from God. It's important for us to remember Joshua and his trust in the Lord. as the walls toppled down amidst the shouts of God's people in the sixth chapter of Joshua. Let's remember that. Read that tonight. And here is God's people doing God's will, following his instructions. And that should be an encouragement for us. And God is able to fight our battles for us. We need to trust him, and we need to do what Joshua did. Meditate on the day and night upon the word of the Lord. Be strong and courageous and not afraid, because God is there helping us. And God takes sin seriously. It came with a high price for Achan and his family. If you read Joshua 7 and 8, you'll see what happened to him. And after all, the reason that the Canaanites were being defeated by God is because of their evil practices. They were an evil nation. And can I get a volunteer to read Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 to 25, please?
Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all of these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled. Therefore I have brought its punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that God's going to take care of those who are evil. And he takes sin seriously. We must fear the Lord and fight against a casual attitude towards sin. Sin breaks up our relationship with God. And we as Christians, we rejoice when a sinner turns from his sinful ways and asks for God's forgiveness. And he enters into a relationship with him and his people. Look at Rahab. She turned to God and she was rewarded. Can I get someone to read Joshua 6, chapter, verse 17, please?
The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom he sent.
Thank you. So we see that Rahab and her family were saved because she assisted the messengers that Joshua sent. And the Gibeonites accepted God. And Joshua 9, verses 17 to 19, then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beerot and Kiriath Jearim. That's why I love these names. The sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Now we cannot touch them. So they accepted God. So we as Christians are faced with choices. And Christians can serve the Lord as Joshua and his family did. Can I get a volunteer for Joshua 24 and verse 15, please?
If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you all will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you very much, Tim. Sophie, I appreciate that. So we we have a choice as those of the Old Testament, Joshua and his family. And Christians can serve the gods of their choosing, as most of the Israelites eventually did. We see in Judges chapter 2, which we'll be looking at next week, verses 1 and 2. Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. As for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? So even when God had commanded them to destroy their enemies, they didn't do that. And the choice Christians make is a daily choice. Choosing to serve the Lord means that we are choosing to meditate on his word, obey him with our choices, and honor him with our lives by living a righteous and godly life. And that's what Joshua had shared with us in the book of Joshua. I hope that this lesson was meaningful to each and every one of us. And does anybody have any comments or something to add this evening?
Yes, I had something, Lenny.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, if we look at the genealogies in Matthew and possibly elsewhere, it tells us that Rahab became a part of the lineage of Christ because of her faithfulness.
Exactly. And we're going to get to that when we look at the book of Ruth. We're going to see the lineages and see what happens. And it's awesome to see how God works. And when we look at the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph and Mary, we see that's the only genealogy that was saved from the children of Israel. All the other genealogies are gone. But we have the roadmap which God had shared with us that leads us to Jesus. Very good point. Anybody else have anything to add? I'll stop sharing my screen. I sure appreciate everybody's participation, everybody's comments.